It's time to jump out of bed, throw on a pot of coffee, and strap on the good old tool belt. You're tuned to Arizona's favorite home improvement resource. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
Everybody should be pretty coffeeed up by now, right?
Yeah, I would think
so. Ready to get on with it.
I think so. We tried to shake you out of bed at 7 o'clock this morning. We did it nice and easy,
though. We did. We had some great music.
That was really nice. That was really nice. We're talking about, would you ever close up your kitchen? I did come up with a couple more reasons to do it.
Okay.
This is a true testimony from a woman, and she says, I don't want my living room and family room furniture smelling like bacon grease. Who wouldn't want everything to smell like bacon grease?
Okay,
well, I'm fine with my furniture smelling like bacon grease. And the carpet, and the dog, my car.
We had another caller say that the reason you do that is so that your guests can't see that you're really using a caterer and it's not your own food you're serving.
Keeps the caterer out of the dining experience.
Can come in the back door and slip it on the counter there.
Or how about this? Same woman that doesn't want her couch smelling like bacon grease says if she accidentally drops the chicken on the floor, she wants to be able to pick it up and dust it off. Put it back in the pot without anybody knowing.
Oh, 5-second rule.
But she doesn't want her couch smelling like grease. But she'll serve chicken that's been dropped on the floor.
We're going to cook it, you know.
All right. Well, that was the topic of the day. Is it or is it not going to be a trend? And certainly from the feedback we got on text during the show from our Facebook posting. This is never going to take off in the great
state
of Arizona. So,
just got an email from a lady who was listening, Miss Joyce, from 7 o'clock hour. We talked about harvesting prickly pear, and she was asking where you get it. And really, you can look around your neighbor's yards, and if you see them, just knock on the door and say, hey, they'll probably be glad you want to take the fruit because they lay on the ground and attract critters once they ripen. But just watch for them to get a really deep, deep red, almost brown. And then when they just barely start falling off, that's a good time. But they're all over the desert. As you're driving down the highway, you can just kind of keep your eye open. Last year, we stopped on the way home from Tucson Home Show and picked a couple buckets full just off the highway.
5-gallon bucket. We filled 2 5-gallon buckets in 15 minutes.
Right.
And we use, like, barbecue tongs to
plus the thorn armor gloves.
And we just grab the fruit and twist it. And if you have to fight it off the prickly pear pad at all,
it's not ready.
It literally should just fall off as soon as you touch it.
Miss Joyce also
And don't pick up any off the ground.
Okay.
Okay. Don't only pick the ones that
there's
are still
plenty.
Attached
yeah.
to.
Yeah, there's plenty.
But our neighborhood is full of them. Now, the one thing I'm going to recommend is if you go clean your neighbor's prickly pear of all the fruit.
You take them some juice when you're done.
But don't offer them a lot because you may think, wow, this cactus is covered. I'm going to get so much juice from this. I mean, we take 5-gallon buckets full of prickly pear fruit and we end up with what, about 16 to 18 ounces of juice out of that?
It's more than that.
It is?
I still have some in the freezer from last year.
Yeah, but how many buckets did we do?
I don't remember. Well,
we did a lot.
Pay more attention this year.
Okay.
But she also wanted the prickly pear syrup recipe. It's real easy. You take about 12 prickly pears and then the juice of a lemon and a cup and a half of sugar and a teaspoon of cornstarch and just heat that all up and then you can can it and it makes great. It'll last all season.
What do you do with the prickly pear extract that we put in our iced tea? Do you add anything
to
that?
That's what that is. That's that syrup.
Okay.
Yeah, I mix up that syrup, and you can use it for your pancakes, your ice cream, your tea, anything like that.
And that's to make it the jelly, but you
No,
don't,
that's not jelly. This is just a syrup.
That's just a syrup. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes the best iced tea on the planet.
Yeah, it's better than the jelly because you can use it so many different ways.
Yeah, and it's so pretty.
It is pretty.
We use it sometimes when we cook our game and our Cornish game hens and a lot of fowl.
Mm-hmm.
We use it for color.
It's good on lamb.
It's great on lamb. So it's a very high color food product that looks really, really beautiful and tastes really, really good. So you're going to have this author, John Slattery, in on harvesting desert plants.
117 that you can forage from the desert of the Southwest.
117
plants. Going to learn some things.
In the desert Southwest that you can actually live off of. That would be great information. So is that next week?
I'm hoping so.
Okay. The other thing we're going to have next week is how to read your utility bill. We've been offering a service to help you cut your energy bill. It's a free service. And I want to thank all the listeners down in Tucson. We needed some TEP utility bills. And the response has been just fantastic. It's providing us with exactly the information we need to get to the bottom of how you in the TEP service areas can do what we've taught everybody up in the APS and the SRP regions to do, that you can save a lot of money in the summer by strategically knowing how to read your utility bill. You know, in some utility companies, there's over 18 different things listed on your bill. We're going to go over every single one of them next week. Get your bill out, and let's visit about it. Those of you in Tucson will find out one of the things on your utility bill is you paid for Eager, Arizona to have a high school domed football field. God bless y'all. Have a great week.